it's one of those chapters, I'll say, where things are written out of sequence in the sense of reflecting back, going forward, and to present. For instance, in John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And so we have the account of Nicodemus coming to the Lord at night and asking him this question. Now you think in that conversation, it would all carry down as if you were watching a conversation between two people. However, it does change a little bit here. And so with that said, I want you to come down to verse 16. In verse 16 it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's probably one of the more used verses in the Bible and in our land. Matter of fact, many times you watch a ball game, NFL game, you got the guy that's behind the goal post back there where he's holding up the sign, John 3:16, right? Y'all seen him holding up the sign, John 3:16. And, you know, it makes me think about the fact that, you know, that great persecution we're having as Christians, because him being a Christian, he's putting the cheap seats. I mean, if he wasn't a Christian with John 3:16, he had 50-yard line seats. But since he's a Christian, you see, they persecute him and move him behind the goalpost. So you're familiar with John 3:16. I want to bring to light the truth of John 3:16. For instance, look at it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, I want to talk to you about giving. The fact is there are different forms of the word, whether it's give, gave, giveth, giving. It's different forms of it that I'd like to talk about. In this account, he gave his only begotten Son. If you would, turn back to Isaiah. We're going to come back to John 3. So if you want to hold that, we'll be there. But in Isaiah, you're pretty familiar with this. Look in chapter 7 of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 7 says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, we're familiar with that account. That's Mary giving birth to Jesus Christ. It goes further in explanation to that if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Look in Isaiah chapter 9. And as I was reading this, I noticed a verse, and I just want to comment on this, and I probably shouldn't chase this rabbit, but it's very suitable for the time that we're in right now. In Isaiah chapter 9, look in verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Think about that. Think about our country as it has increased. Think about our country as it has been multiplied. You've had, for I don't know how many years, people come into this country not wanting to adapt to the culture of our country, not coming here for the Constitution or the democratic process of voting and those type things, or the fact that it's even termed a Christian nation. They come here and bring their ways with them. We also have had for many years an influx of people that's come across the border that are not registered. They're illegal. Now, why is all that important? Because it matches this pretty good in verse 3. Thou hast multiplied the nation. But look at the next half of this. And not increase the joy. Folks, there is no joy in this country anymore. I mean, look at the circumstances that took place the other day in Connecticut. Look how depressing and how sad that is of what took place. And that's not the first time. And this goes on constantly. That doesn't get the headlines that something like that that took place at that school in Connecticut took place. This constantly goes on in our society, and it's not headline news. It may be back of the paper type news, but it constantly goes on. In other words, The country's multiplying, but there's no joy here. There is no happiness here. And it shows and it reflects the fact that God has gradually been put out of our whole system of operation, from government to education to even our personal lives in this society. And so consequently, we are like men that rejoice upon the spoil. Well, that's not gratitude. That's give it to me. I want it now. Give me my share. And that's the mentality of people today. When you go in the Bible, you know what you see from the Bible? If you want to reflect anything concerning the Bible, it's about giving. God is a giving God. That's what He's done for man. He gives unto man. Well, this characterization here is perfect for our country. It's what's in it for me. I want it. Give it to me. It's mine. You deserve and owe it to me. That's our mentality. Everybody has that mentality. And it's just like it was described, as those that go upon the spoil. It reminds me of an animal that gets hit in the road and gets killed. What do you have there a day or two later? Buzzards. And they're just feeding on it. And that's the nature of our society. And actually, doctrinally, that's how Israel was at the writing of Isaiah. But look, it changes. Go down to verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is what? Say the word. It's given. A son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, I know who that is. I know who that child is. It turns out being the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ was a son, God's son, and according to verse 6, unto us a son is what? Given. A son is given. Well, that matches John 3:16. Turn back to John 3:16. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ was a gift to this nation, a gift of God's son, so that he could become the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords for Israel, to raise them up above all nations. And they didn't do that. What did they do? They crucified the Lord of glory. They rejected him. And so you have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now I said John is very difficult to understand, John chapter 3, of how it's read. Now watch how this is read. First of all, what I'm saying is verse 16 is the birth of Jesus Christ and God given his son. Now back up one. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's a reference to Moses as he made the serpent of brass. That's back in Numbers 21. If you go back on your own and read that, we'll not go into it. But he made the serpent of brass, and God had sent serpents among the people because they rejected the words of Moses. And so consequently, they were being bitten by these serpents and dying. And so they're bemoaning to the Lord, to Moses saying, we have sinned a great sin. Remove this curse from us. So God told Moses, make a serpent of brass, put it on the rod and hold it up. And when they're bitten and they look upon it, they shall not die. Well, the rod represents the death of the curse. You realize Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, was made a curse for us? He was made what we are in the flesh, and that is we're no good in the flesh. There's nothing good about me, and there's nothing good about you. The only one that ever came into this world that was good was God's Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He had no sin. He lived without sin. But the end story of this man was that when he went to the cross, he was made a curse for us. And they lifted him up there and looked upon him. And those that believed upon him would get eternal life, as we do today. That he died for our sins, that he was buried and raised again the third day so that we could have eternal life. So this thing's backing up. In other words, 16 is about God giving his son birth. You go to verse 15. It's about Christ going to the cross. Now look in verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. You see how John's written? It starts off in John 3 with Nicodemus going to Jesus Christ at night. Then all of a sudden you have these other verses and the way they're written. Well, when John writes this, verse 13, Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's not sitting there telling Nicodemus, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. How could he be telling Nicodemus this? He can't. So, Jeremy, you might want to get rid of your red letter there and get, you know, all black. Just saying. So it backs up. It goes from God giving his Son for Israel to receive as a gift to that nation. Here's your Son. I'm giving him to you. Hear ye him, it says. Obey him. And let me tell you, as a serpent was lifted up, Christ was... I believe there's more to being lifted up concerning Jesus Christ. Turn back to Isaiah and look in chapter 6. I believe that being lifted up not only has to do with the cross of Jesus Christ, but it has to do with the glory that is going to follow. Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Well, who's sitting upon a throne? The Lord. So we know who he's talking about. Now watch. Sitting upon the throne, high and what? Lifted up. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. So it goes beyond just the cross. It's him being lifted up to sit in that kingdom. And guess what, folks? He's going to judge with a rod of iron. There'll be justice and judgment that'll be rendered out from the Lord of hosts. But they rejected him. Jesus Christ is not here. He's not reigning on the throne today on this earth in his kingdom. That has not happened yet. Because they rejected him, God brought in a new plan for mankind. A new plan for mankind. Look over in Romans, and look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5 verse 15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. But for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Well, this is a contrast between one man, Adam, and one man, Jesus Christ. One man, Adam, was disobedient, and one man, Adam, brought through his disobedience sin into the world, and by that, everybody has become sinners. By the act of one man, Adam, all have become sinners. But through the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, all have been justified. All have been rendered innocent. That's what justification means. And the free gift to all men. What is that? Well, it's eternal life. Look in Romans chapter 6. You know, everybody is looking forward to their gifts next week, right? I mean, that's about what Christmas is about, right? You're getting your gifts. And so, you know, we kind of leave God in the background, and we look for all those bells and whistles and new devices and everything coming out that, you know, we are hoping to get and things of that nature. Well, I want you to know, giving is part of God. It's who he is. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a gift there. I don't know where the thing went, but we had like a present up here with a bow on it, and you open it up, we had this verse in there to be displayed that God's given man a gift. Well, what is that gift? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn to Ephesians and look in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians chapter 5. Many times I read these verses that we're going to read here when I do weddings and people get married. You know, people get married and I read these verses. And they get married and I usually read these verses. So when they get married, I read this verse. I don't know by now. I used it, yeah. When did I use it, guys? Wednesday?
12 at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. So we had a little get together and we performed the wedding. And oh, by the way, I read this verse, if you didn't know, just to let you know. Thanks for announcing that, Mike. Right on script here. The Not Ready for Primetime Players is here. Thank you very much. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and what? Gave himself for it. My point is God is a giving God. He is giving in spite of the fact that we're no good, in spite of the fact that we're sinners, in spite of the fact through the weakness of our flesh, we can't bring it under control to be obedient to God. And that's what religion tells you. It says, well, keep this. Do this, say these right things, do these right things, and at the end of it all, when you're out of here, God may accept you. Well, folks, we don't teach God may accept you. We teach here that God does accept you based upon trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. He voluntarily gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, and this is a time to testify of it. That Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of men. He was spitefully treated. He was nailed to a tree. And cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. He became the curse for us. And when we look at that and recognize that that should be me on the cross, we see the humbleness of ourselves and put our trust in what He did for us. If you've got a high mind that, well, I don't need the cross, I can get it on my own, well, go ahead, but I'm going to tell you the end of the story now. We don't have to wait till you get there. You're going to die and fall off into hell. That's all there is to it. The only way God could reconcile you back to Himself is through the death, the shedding of blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the only way. The only way. You have to put your trust in what Jesus Christ did. Now is not a time to get high-minded and heady about what Christ did for you. Now's the time to just accept the gift. Accept the gift. It's free on top of it all. I mean, many times you get a gift, it's based on things you do, things you've done. This is something you don't do anything. You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive the gift of eternal life. Man, where is any losing on that? That's called win-win. There's no losing there. There's great hope in Christ Jesus who loved us and gave Himself for us. So as we close this morning, I want everyone in here to examine your hearts. Just look within yourself because this is a you and God thing. This isn't me and you. I'm out of the picture. This is you and God. And you go before Him and say, Lord, I've never put my trust in you. I'm going to do it now. Right here, right now, I'm going to trust that your Son died for my sins, was buried and raised again the third day. I'm trusting what you said, that you will forgive me of my sins, that you will have me saved. The day I get out of this world, I'm going to be with you based upon your Son, and you turn over your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And for that, once again, you get the free gift of eternal life. Nobody should walk out of this church this morning empty-handed. Everybody should be carrying the gift that God has given, which is eternal life. So examine yourselves and make sure you're in the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.